continuing the theme that exploring what seem like small practical questions in Shakla Vatarya could often lead to not only a resolution of that technical question, but larger yesodas and bigger vistas. So in the last 2 days we explored one kasha, now we'll explore another kasha, a parallel kasha. The Gemara in Gittin had raised a series of two kashas. The second one was, you're telling me that Shmitz's Ksachim does not as well as Rabbanon. You're telling me that Shmitz's Ksachim doesn't apply Minat Torah of Bismanazah at all. We have Shmitz's Ksachim Bismanazah. That's Takan Rabbanon. How are you talking? How did Chazal have the authority to create a Shmitz's Ksachim Rabbanon? Minat Torah, the Lova owes the money. So by what power can the Chachamim say, even though Minat Torah you owe money, Minat Rabbanon, we're waving our magic wands, you can ignore that and not pay the debt that exists in Minat Torah? How could Chazal have created Shmitz's Ksachim Rabbanon? In other words, again, rephrasing that in the language of the larger global sugi, Yivamas Daf Beikens Daf Tzadi, the whole notion of Shmitz's Ksachim Rabbanon, creating a Shmitz's Ksachim Rabbanon, seems like an Akiras Davar Minat Torah. So according to Chista, Yesh Kavlaka. But our Gemara is assuming like Rabba, which lends strength to the assumption that we pass in like Rabba. It generally ain't Kavakwak. But here we are. So Abaye quoted his Rabbi Rabba saying, well, but here's the Sheval Tasa. I'm just not paying back. Rabba said, Hefka Besin Hefka. Another one of the terutzim that his Rabbi Rabba had given, that Chazal cannot generally be okay to Avraham Torah in the world of Eastern Hetzer, the world of Dinim Amenus, Avraham Bezen Hef. And the Goyer goes on to quote two different psukim as sources for the idea that Hefker Bezen Hefker literally means the Hefker, that the Bezen can make something onerous. As an aside, we pointed out, this came back later also, that the two psukim are interesting. And the Rashba begins to point out, the footnote says, they tell you, the Marshal says even more explicitly, the difference between the two psukim might be what sort of power is the pasuk indicating that the Bezin has. The Bezin has the power, Yochron called Rechusho, to make Reuven's property ownerless. Or more, the Eil HaNachal is pasuk, that Bezin has the right to actually make Reuven's property, not just owners, but Shel Shimon. We talk about the Hefker Bezin Hefker just Lahavkir, or even Lahaknos, even to make it belong to someone else. It's a Machlokes Achronim, so Sesivas and others, the Hefker Bezin Hefker level of Doraisa, even Lahaknos, Lahachirim, or merely Lahavkir. And again, from the Rashba, you begin to get the impression that might already be in the focus Amarav, that's the difference between the two psukim. Mention the underlying lumdus of it, Rav Shapiro points out, is to say that Bezin can only be mafkir is to say that Bezin can do what the owners themselves can do. I can be mafkir my own property, and Bezin can be mafkir my property. I cannot make my property yours merely by saying so. Rambam, the first line that Rambam says for Kenyan, I can't make something yours without a Maisa Kenyan. If I say this water bottle belongs to Ezra, it doesn't. It's still mine. If we do a Maisa Kenyan, then it'll belong to Ezra. So to say that Hefker and Hefker the Raisa is only Lahavkir is to say that the Kiddush of Hefker and Hefker that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Bezin the right to act in loco in place of the Baal himself. To say the bigger Kiddush, that again may correspond to the other Pasuk Yehoshua, to say that Hefker and Hefker the Raisa is even Lahaknos Lahachirim, that the nature of the Kiddush of Hefker and Hefker is not merely that they can act in place of the Bialim, but they can actually do more than the Bialim. That's instead saying that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Beis Din power over ownership of items, which is more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people themselves. Okay, that's something to file away. We have to come back to it later on. We dealt with the nature of Hefker, Beznef, and Shita Sef as well as that. Okay. But that is Rava. However you understand exactly the details of Hefker, Beznefker, what Rava says Hefker, Beznefker is the explanation of how Chazal can be Oked Dov Ben HaTorah and create an idea of Shita Sef and Rabbanah. While Abaye says, no, the reason, the way they did it is through what? Through Shev Al Kasa. So the pair of questions that bothers us in the sugya is why is Abaye not said like Rava? Why is Rava not said like Abaye? Particularly since the Rebbe Rabba already said both Yesodos. It's not a machlokas, they're both true. So Rabba used Hefker Beznefker to deal with cases that were only, that weren't Shev Al Tasa. He used Shev Al Tasa to deal with areas that weren't Mamas. But here it's both. So what drives Abaye to pick this one, what drives Rabba to pick that one? Yesterday, Mar Makolos number one, we dealt with the question of why did Rava not like Abaye Shev Al Tasa, and that we saw as that it had to do perhaps with the nature of Shev Al Tasa. Maybe one layer of Machlokes by Rava is they're arguing over the nature of Shev Al Tasa. But in terms of why did Abaye not say like Rava, why not say Hefker Beznefker? Why not say Hefker Beznefker? So that might lie not in the nature of Akiyos Dov Shev Al Tasa, that might lie in the nature of Shemitah's Ksafim. Whether Shemitah's Ksafim is the sort of thing that fits well within the rubric of Hefker Beznefker. We mentioned, like, even like programmatically, Derech HaLimud wise, you're dealing with something strange at the intersection of two different dinim. It's probably totally in the nature of this thing, nature of that thing. Here at the intersection of Akiyos Dov Torah and Shemitah's Ksafim, one way or the other, or both. So the big issue in the world of the nature of Shemitah's Ksafim, the one that perhaps will help us understand the machlokas of Abaye and Rava, whether or not to explain Shemitah's Ksafim Drabban as being rooted after Beznefker, is the question of whether Hashmata's Ksafim is something that happens or something that I'm afraid to do. Is it, borrowing the language of the Gemara Bava Metzia, Afkaita de Malka or Afkaita de Gavra? Again, Afkaita does not have Yudin. That's Aleph Pei Kuf Ayin, Tuf Aleph. There would be more precise, you would say Afkata de Gavra or Afkata de Malka. Who's being Mafkia? Who's undoing the Chol? Up until, as I said, most Rishonim assume that Shemitah's Ksafim happens entirely in the last moment of Shemitah. The Rosh has an opinion that some of it happens earlier. Even he agrees that much of it happens in the last moment of Shemitah. Most other Rishonim say Hashmata's Ksafim is entirely the last moment of Shemitah. That's why, if you want to be back for the Rosh, you're going to make two prismals. One Erev Rosh Hashanah going into Shemitah, one Erev Rosh Hashanah at the end of Shemitah. We're generally not mocking for the Rosh, so only make one prismal a couple weeks ago. So Hashmata's Ksafim happens at the end of Shemitah. So what do you mean Hashmata's Ksafim happens? So the Rambam's language is very clear. All about Achol. So that Parag Dalach attached Shemitah of Yovel. Parag Tess is where he begins his discussion of Shemitah's Ksafim. So he says Achadalit. The moment, when the last moment of Shemitah comes and goes, all about Achol, the Chol is lost. That's a very clear, as Kedarko Shal Rambam, concise, undramatic, and very clear statement of what he holds, which is Afkaita the Malka. Doesn't make a big deal of it, doesn't tell you, I'm not telling you a big deal, it just says it. And once you notice it, it's not mistaken, the Chol is gone. That's Afkaita the Malka. I didn't do anything, the Chol is gone. We saw that the Mordechai also talks about Afkaita the Malka. The Ramban, called by the Sefer HaTrumas, also talks of Kaita de Malka. I don't remember whether or not we saw that the Ramban's Talmud, the Rajba, also talks about Kaita de Malka. And various nafkaminas in this issue. We saw a total of 8 or 9 nafkaminas. If you want to have this in writing, it's in the description and why the Torah connected to the last year in the Sadia. The brackets they're trying to make is because they don't allow you a lot of formatting there. You can't even have a hard return.
The brackets always work against that year.
Correct. So we began our explanation with the Mordechai. Mordechai here in Gittin. Mordechai, very fascinated. Talmud Chizki reached out to his Rebbe Rav Yitzchak Cohen, that he had a Din Torah, and he gave a psak, but he's self-doubting and leaving Oakley. They didn't give the right psak, and the Rebbe says, no, I agree with you absolutely. I've thought the same way for a long time. What was the issue? The issue was, there was a malva lover, there was a loan that hadn't been repaid, and the malva is going after the lover for the money. And the lover says, Shemitah came and went. I don't owe you money anymore. Shemitah's suffering. I think I mentioned in passing that historically speaking, sociologically speaking, there were communities that did not practice Shemitah's suffering. They just didn't do it. Which the Rush discovered when he fled Germany and came to Spain. There may or may not have been a halachic basis for that, because there are three opinions that we've shown about the degree of chiyuv of shmita tefach ma'azeh. I mean, the Gemara presents the machlokas hatanah whether shmita tefach ma'azeh is daraisa or chavad the Rebbe or not daraisa Rebbe, which the Gemara says is drabanan. But there are some rishonim who say bizman hazeh that doesn't apply at all. Either like the Baal HaMa'ar and sometimes the Raivid who say that in this time period, there's no Shemitah Tzafim, even Drabanan. There was a Shemitah Tzafim Drabanan, but that ended, that Takana ended with the end of a Bezin Kavua. The Chumas Hadesh and the Ashkenazi says that no Shemitah Tzafim, the Shemitah Tzafim Drabanan only applied in Eretz Yisrael. We're in the foot floor, no Shemitah Tzafim Drabanan. Okay, we don't accept either opinion. We assume that there is Shemitah Tzafim, Bezman Hazeh, all over the world. Albeit be drabanan, I'll be pashtus. But there were rishonim who held that shmita tzafim doesn't apply bizman hazeh, at least the chasar. Okay. Whatever it is, this lender had a different twist. This lender says, well, there's no Shmitz Tzafim. I'm going to ignore Shmitz Tzafim, not because I don't think Shmitz Tzafim applies bizman hazeh, but because I didn't do Shmitz Tzafim. Well, I didn't do Shmitz Tzafim. See, the lender said, I've kaitzit the gavra. I have a chiyuv to be mafkia. I didn't do it. I wasn't mafkia. Shmitz came and went. I missed my chance. So lemaisa, I wasn't mafkia. So if I'll wait so long, we'll get to the next Shmitz, then I'll have a chiyuv to be mafkia. That the Zman HaMitzvah is up. He said that he sounds like, you only find the shofar after Rosh Hashanah is over. You put it away in a safe spot for next Rosh Hashanah, but you don't blow it now. In Chanukah, there's no mitzvah. Zman HaMitzvah is mubal, limited. So the shoel, or the malve, in this case, was arguing, Afkaita de Gavra. It doesn't happen automatically. I have a chiyuv. I have a chiyuv to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. I have a chiyuv to be mocha my chovos on Shemitah. I missed my chance. Maybe I should have. I didn't. But Lamaisa, I'm not going to do it now. That's silly. Because I don't blow a shofar now. I don't do Shemitah stuff now. So the Malva was making the argument that Shemitah Avkaiti de Gavra. And therefore, number one, if you didn't do your Avka, then the Chov still exists. And the flip side is, Bilachar, you are Mechuyiv to say, like an absolute chiyuv. That's the mitzvah, Shemitah Tzafim. And also, number three is that if you say Afkaita de Gavra, it's you don't have to, but it's possible to go a step further and say the time of Shemitah Tzafim is only during Shnas HaShemitah. Towards the end of the Shemitah year, you ought to say but Shemitah comes and goes and you missed your chance. Fascinating. That was not being number three. And he pointed out that accords well with the simple reading of the Mishnah Shvi'ez, according to Avlam and Zayin Gittin, a machzer chov b'Shvi'ez. the Malva Seva Shana. Only in Shvius, we show them a bother a little bit. It's after Shvius. Shvius is Mishamet is the sofa. Within the context of Shemitah, at the time in history of Shemitah applies. So if you say Afkai Degavra, you say, no, it means during the Shemitah. Okay. But the Mordechai quotes that both Rabbi Chizkiah and Rabbi Avigdor Cohen, to whom he turned for advice, they both rejected this opinion absolutely. They say, Beferish. Shemitah's Shemitah's suffering is Afkai to the Malta. So the Malta's argument is bogus. They don't accept it. It doesn't matter what you do. I could involve with Mafkir of the Chol. And therefore, so number one, even if you didn't do anything, the Chol disappeared anyways. And on the other hand, you're not Mechuyib to say anything. If the Lova comes and wants to repay, then the Misha says, you have to push back Mishamet. If he never comes back, then the Chol keeps doing anything. I don't have to go over to you and say, by the way, Mishamet. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it happens on its own. It's Baruch Hu does. At the end, the Mordechai says maybe it's not a mitzvah to reformulate what Kodesh Baruch Hu did anyways, the same way he says Bechor becomes Kodesh Be'ela, Bechor doesn't require Kodesh Be'ela, but it's still a mitzvah to say Harei Zeh Bechor. Okay. But certainly, if you say Afkai to the Malka, there's room to say that there's no absolute chiyuv to always say the Shabbat. It's only a response in response to if the Lover wants to pay. On the other hand, it's not like the Zman HaMitzvah is during Shemitah. Hashem does Hashem's itself in the last moment of Shemitah, and then I have a chiyuv to honor that when Shemitah is over. Those are the first three nafkaminas that emerge from the Mordechai, is again number one, does the chol disappear automatically or not? Number two, if you say Afkaita de Malka, yes, that's the whole point of Afkaita de Malka. If you say Afkaita Gavra, no, it does not disappear automatically, that's the whole point. You have to actually vote for it. The loan doesn't disintegrate on its own. And then, the sort of two additional afkaminas is, if you say Afkaita de Gavra, it's going to come out of your actually Mekuyev to say Mishamer. You say Afkaita de Malka, maybe I have a mitzvah to say Mishamer, like my Bechor. Or maybe no. In case you want to pay me back, I have to resist. And then on the other hand, if you say Afkai Tegavra is not necessary but possible, the Zman HaMitzvah has to be dafka during Shmuel. Those are the first three nafkaminas. What happens if I didn't say Mishamani? Am I mechuyev to always say Mishamani? And is there a Zman HaMitzvah which is only Shmuel? Is it conceivable that, oh, we missed our chance because the Zman HaMitzvah is over? Those again. The first one appears in the Rambam as well. Other two appear, not in the Rambam, but in the Mordechai. A L'chatchila version of this appears in the Ramban in quoted by the Sefer HaTrumos. Sefer HaTrumos, the Asardi, not really the Baruch Sefer HaTrumah, but Shmuel Asardi, author of the Sefer HaTrumos, a Sefer on Halacha Sefer on Chosh and Mishpat. Shmuel HaSardi was from the Beis Medrash to Ramban, quotes from him very extensively with great reverence. And here he quotes, there's a whole shahr, I think the shahr Mem Ahei, is dedicated to Shmitz Tzafim. And he quotes from the Rebbe that the Malva is, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in the Simon in Shulchan Aruch about Shmitz Tzafim, Simon Chosh and Mishpat Samach Zayin. So the Shulchan Aruch, towards the end of the Simon, I think it's Se'if Lamed Zayin, quotes this position of the Ramban, quoted by the Sefer HaTrumos, that the Lova, when Shemitah comes and goes, the Lova can go to Bezin and Bezin will force the Malva to relinquish the Shtarchot. Just as when the Lova pays up the loan, in a normal case, the Malva is mechuyev to hand over the Shtar. So here, the loan was satisfied. Not by repayment, but by Afkaita de Malka. Well, whatever it is, the mice of the loan disappeared. When the loan disappeared, when the obligation disappears, the Malva is obligated to give up the shtar. So that's what the Ramban says. And he says, Beferish, Afkaita de Malka, and therefore you're not allowed to hold on to the shtar anymore. That's Nafkimina number four. Nafkimina number five is something that the Minchas Chinuch raises dramatically. But the truth is, the Ramban already, that same Sefer HaTrumos, Rishayim Rabban, he says this with Beirish. He says, Rabban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the loan disappear. And if you went ahead and collected anyways, you're mechuyev to give the money back. And if you don't give the money back, Beis Din will come knocking your door and make you to go and give the money back because it's absolutely not yours. Your whole, if you collected a loan, the overall of our Shmita, you are in violation of Geza. Rabban is very explicit about it. He's Motzi B'dayanim. The Minchas Chinuch goes on to say, even mostly from the Yarshim. The Yarshim didn't do anything wrong. Like, the Malva, after Shmita, the Malva collects the money from the Lova, and the Malva passed away. The Lova says, give up, what's happening? Shmita, I want my money back. He goes to the Malva has passed away. He can sue the Yarshim in court. The Yarshim didn't do an Aveira, they didn't violate Shmita. It doesn't matter, says the Minchas Chinuch. It's not a question of doing anything wrong. They're holding on. If their father was a Ganav, then they didn't even know. He bequeaths to them his property. Then it turns out that one of the cars he left for them was a stolen car. So they didn't do anything wrong, but they are mechuyev to give it back. It's not there. It wasn't their father's. It's not theirs. It's the same thing here. The father, he wasn't a car thief, but he collected a loan. Shavu Lava Shmita. That's also Gazam. See, he's holding on to money that's not his. The kids think it's a Yerusha, but really it's someone else's money that was in their father's house. They have to give it up. And the Chassidim also had another twist with an Esrei. I think that means it's not a gift. An Esrei. I like the $50, and then after Shemitah, I go collect the money. He says, hey, I'm sorry, I have the money, but I have a lot of extra strike, and here's an Esrei that's worth $50. So I can't be Yotzei with that Esrig on the first 2 days of Sukkot because that's Shalit, Shalom. Or he said, I'm sorry, I don't have money, give me a ring instead. So I turn around and I give the ring, the Malva, who collected the loan to Isser, turns around, got a ring as payment of the loan, turns around and gives a ring to his fiance, says, Rei Abba Kodeshes. They're not married. It wasn't his kesef. It was the Lova's kesef. That's what the Minchas Chinuch developed. But again, it's already in the Ramban, Sefer HaTrumos. That is nafka number 5. Even Avar Vigava, you went ahead and you collected the Isser, it doesn't even become yours. Why? All these are on the assumption that it's Afkaita, the Malva. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have to, the Malva doesn't have to be Mocha the loan. Adram, he collected the loan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mafkia. It's not yours. One more, and then one or two more. Then we'll review before we take this back to the sukkahs. Nafki number 6. Let's say you have a malva who's not mechuyev mitzvahs with a 10-year-old, or you have a shota. Shota lent money. Cheresh lent money. Cheresh lent money. They don't have the mitzvahs. Kata maybe has chinuch. Chinuch mejavar. So if Shmita's tzapna is a chiyuv, you have to nafkia the loan. I don't have to nafkia the loan. But if it's afkaita de malka, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the loan disappear. Cheresh lent money doesn't have to do anything. He might not be equipped to do a valid nechila. Certainly he's not mechuyev to, but if it's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing it, it's irrelevant. The Rashba, I don't know if we spoke about it, Shir, the Rashba writes in the tshuva, then I handed around this is an additional sheet. The Rashba writes in the tshuva, in Chayel Gal, deep in the Chayel Gal, Simon 775. That's the Shiva of 775. Well, it's 770 plus 5. It also looks like 9 in Hebrew. See, it's Simen Tisha. Simen Tisha. He doesn't mean Simen 9. Tavshin Ayin He is 775. Just like in Hilchus Kiddush, Saint Shalom, there are Chamisha Dvarim, Ma'akvin and Chosha Bracha. But it's not 5 things, it's 4 things. Because Chamisha is Rosh HaTevis. Ches Mem Shin He stands for Chai, Mole, Shtifa, and Hadafah. The quality of the wine, a full cup, and you have to rinse it and eat inside and out. So chamisha or ma'akvin in the kosher bracha, it's a chav. Four dinim that Rosh Hashanah chas men shenay. So here, simin tisha, but not simin nine, simin 775.
Is that your
shmita? Tashin ayin hay? Yeah, that's a good point. Wow. Shmak. Tashin ayin hay was a shmita yet. How about that? That's great. That's amazing. At least hey tashin ayin hay. 1,000 is not divisible by 7. Hey tashin ayin hay was a shmita. Okay. So he, Rajma also gives another very clear, explicit statement that Afkaita de Malka. His napkamina is a fellow, a lova owes a malva lends money to lova, lova owes the money. The malva is not so convinced that lova is going to come through, so he makes the lova swear, take a shvua that you're going to pay me back. He's mechayit to pay back without the shvua, but people often, the Gemara points out on the tzia, are more scared of a false shvua than of holding on to money that doesn't belong to them. So the malva says, swear to me you're going to pay back. He says, take a shvua, take a shvua to get paid back below. And then Shmita comes and goes. Does he have to pay back alone? Took shvua. So the Rashba says he does not have to pay back alone. He would take, the loan is gone. There is no loan to pay back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the loan disappear. There's nothing. Guide to the Malka, absolutely. Wow. So 7 nafkaminas in Afkaita Malka, Afkaita God. Nafkina number 1 really is the thing itself. Does the chov disappear automatically or only when, if and when the malva says Malka Lach? Number 2, is the malva absolutely mechuyev to say Malka Lach? Always. If you say Afkaita the God, that is the ultimate stuff. At some point he has to say, I'm Malka. And Nafkina number 3, potentially that has to happen, that can only happen during Shmita. Whereas if you have to Malka, there's no chiyuv necessary to say Meshamani. The mission is the same. If the guy comes and wants to pay you back, then you have to resist. And Shasa Shmita, nothing has to happen during Shasa Shmita. Nafkina number 4, the Ramban says you have to actively return the star after Shmita because Afkaita the Malka. If Afkaita the Gavra, the loan is still here, why don't I return the star? Nafkina number 5, let's go in love order. Nafkina number 7, the Rajba, that the loan disappeared, and therefore, even if you swore to pay back the loan, you don't have to pay back. After Shmita comes, there is no loan left. Obviously, going Afkaita Gavra, the loan is still here, and you took a shvua to pay back. Now, Afkamina number 5 is, let's say the guy, the opposite of what he's supposed to do. Instead of being nice about it, he actually went ahead and actively collected the loan. He has the money. What's the status of the money? So the Minchas Chinuch says what the Rabban already says in Sefer Trumas. It's Gezel. It's Gezel, Motzim B'Denim, Motzim Yorshim, and you're not Yotzi Eshek that way. It's not a valid Kiddush in that way. It's not yours. Nafkin number 6, finally, was, let's say the Malva is a Lav Bar Mitzvah, a Lav Bar Chiyuv. Is that relevant or not? Kher Shot Fakan Shilvu, also Minchas Chinuch. Okay. So those are, that's the core discussion of Afkaita de Gavra versus Afkaita de Malka. This shed light on 2 larger sugyas, which we could call Nafkaminas 8 and 9. So we have 7 Nafkaminas, and the 8 and 9 are the 2 sugyas where we brought this concept to. Nafkina 8 is the way we brought it to Makas Nafgimel. Nafkina 9 is the way we brought it to getting the Flamadav back to home base. Makas Nafgimel was supposed to be Eidon Zolman, ended up becoming Bashmitz's Tzafi. Remember, the concept of Eidon Zolman, based on Psukim and Kiseitse, right, if the, again, where Eidon Zolman, where Eidon made a statement that Reuven did a crime, that Reuven owns money because of some event or another, whatever it is, and then, one thing that can happen is, no other Eidon show up, and we accept Eidon. That's good Eidim. Another possible outcome is a second pair of Eidim come and say the opposite. And that's called Hakkosha. Hey, Chaf, Chet Shin Hey. There's a contradictory. And then, unless we can figure out who's right, who's wrong, we say we're stuck, tray or tray, we don't know whom to accept. But the third possible outcome is a second pair of Aiden Makamba, and rather than being Machish, they don't get into the weeds of what did or didn't happen. You say yes, I say no, you say red, I say blue, but instead Hazama, in the second set of Aiden, attack the first set of Aiden at their core, and they deny the validity of the first set of Aiden. They say, we don't know whether they were alone or not. We have no idea whether their crime was good or not. It doesn't really matter, because we know that you don't know. Because you claim to have seen something happen in Dallas last Tuesday. You weren't in Dallas last Tuesday. You were with us in Kalamazoo last Tuesday. That's Aiden Zoma. Kalamazoo is a real city in Michigan.
Chicago?
Gam? That's an Illinois.
That works.
Bekitzer, so that's Edom Zomer. And again, the way the halachic outcome, the disposition of Edom Zomer is very different from the Hakasha. Hakasha, we say, if it can't, there's no further evidence, then it remains a suffix. We don't know whom to believe. Hazama, the Torah says you believe the second pair. You believe the second pair, and the first pair get punished. And what's the punishment? Whenever you were trying to, first Adam wanted Reuben to suffer, whatever way, to pay money, to get Malchus, Misa, whatever it is, then we give that instead to the first pair of Adam. Usually that's straight, and that's the topic of the first pair of Malchus. First pair of Malchus, and the second Mishnah, Gimel Aleph, raises an intriguing situation where Kasha Zamam is a little hard to define, a little hard to nail down. Because what do you do if we had no reason to believe Reuven owed Shimon money, and then the Edom came and said Reuven owed Shimon money, and then we're massing those Edom, so we say the Edom have to pay that $1,000, whatever it is, and they were trying to create a chiv of $1,000 out of thin air. But let's say there was already a chiv of $1,000. They were just coming to give a tweak it. We knew the Reuven freely admitted that he owed $1,000 to Shimon. But Reuven said the due date is 10 years from now. The Edom come and say, no, the due date is in 30 days from now. We were there when, at the time of the loan, we saw, we heard. And then they from mouth of the Edom, you couldn't have been at the time of the loan. So what were they coming to Mechayim? Not $1,000. They were changing the due date. So how do you put a number on that? So the Mishnah says you have to figure out the time value of money, the differential on the bond market between, you know, money, $1,000 due and payable in 30 days and $1,000 due and payable in 10 years. So it's not going to be $1,000. It's going to be a significant difference. I would pay close to face value for a 30-day loan. But I wouldn't pay anywhere near close to face value for a 10-year loan. So a 30-day loan, it could be you could have sold that debt on the open bond market for $900. In 10 years from now, I don't know, make a number, that maybe would be $300. So they have to pay the difference. They have to pay $600. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. But the Gemara has a side point. The Gemara says, one second, this Mishnah tells me something that Shmita is Ksafim. Maybe. What does the Mishnah tell me? The Mishnah appears to imply that a loan for 10 years is collectible. It doesn't go to zero. It's just worth less because you have to wait 10 years. But the implication of the Mishnah is, if I lend you money for 10 years, you do have to pay back at the end of 10 years. There is some market value to that bond. It's just less. I will have to Shmita Ksafim. In 10 years, definitely the Shmita can come and go. So the Gemara says, offhand, the Mishnah is mashma, that such a loan isn't Shemitah's Ksafim susceptible. Why? Because the Mishnah implies the Shemitah's Ksafim only hits loans that are already not just exist, but already due. If it's not yet due, not yet chayach lo yigos, then Shemitah's Ksafim doesn't operate. But the Gemara says, that's what it sounds like for the Mishnah, according to the big machlokas, is that true or not? You have to pay off the debt. The Mishnah, there are ways out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a case where the loan is Shmita's Ksafim proof. There was a mashko and other details. Okay. So Lemaisa, because the Amoraim on Gimel Beis and Nakas have a debate, and the two Roshonos in the Gemara, it's not clear all the dust settles. What's the din ma'abach haver al aser shan? The shmita itself will only operate on a debt that's already due, collectible, or even a debt that exists but is not yet due. Halacha ma'aser, very practical upon ma'aser. How do we pass it? So you saw a big machlokes from Shoni. Tosus starts talking, and Tom argued with the others. The Rush gave more, and Tom argued with the Yoazak and the Riva. He passed on the first law. Shnei Eglas machlokes amar machlokes from Rav Aspa. Good. What was intriguing? One of the main things that's intriguing is when the Rush and Machlokes is working on this. He said, "Look, it's already a machlokes is early Baliotosus." Then he gives his psak. And one of the rationales he gives his pesach is very strange. One of the rationales he gives is, well, you know, maybe I can bring a raya. At any time, I'm going to try and bring raya. See if the world is really like this. No, for either kolalim of you passing usually like lishna kama lishna basra, or specifically look at this sugya and baba basra, and here and there, can I bring a raya? Then the rush is, you know what? Maybe I can bring a raya. Or maybe when old dust settles, I'm not really sure which way the raya is pointing. He says, in which case, it's a suffix. So he says, well, it's a suffix. So what's the rule when you have a suffix? It's a suffix, I still cover something around the pool. She's accepting on Zay's right bottom. So Mela, he says, where does that leave me? Where does that leave me? Lishna Basra. In other words, you do have to pay the money. The Malva can say, Suffix Shmita's Ksafim, Shmita's Ksafim, Al Jabana, Suffix Ksafim, I can ignore it. So the Beis Yosef, and on the bottom of the Rosh HaKut, the Beis Yosef tries to hide the Kayim. What's. If this is a Suffix, the relevant rule is Hefka Hamotzi Mechaber of Araya. It's a Suffix Mabin. You don't say, well, it's not clear, you know, whether you owe me the money or not. So you don't say, well, it's a Suffolk Gezel. No, it's a Hamasa of Araya. I don't have to pay you because Gezel is the Raisas, the Suffolk Raisas of Homer. No, that's in the world of Israel, the world of Dinam Amnes. They say, Motse Mechabel of Araya. That was a big problem. The solution, I thought it could be it's even Mashma, the language of the Beis Yosef tries to Miyash of the Rush. I thought this might be what he was driving at. And my Neuberger showed me the Shara Mishpat, one of the Achronim HaChash Mishpat, writes this Beferish. The Pshat in the Rush is, he holds Afkaita de Gavra. The Uraim is famous for saying Afkaita de Gavra. It's not just the Shoel and the Mordechai. The Uraim, Elizabeth Mitz, one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Tam, does, he's the famous Das Yachin. He's the one who says Afkaita de Gavra. Could be it's a Rush also. Maybe Rush also agrees. If it's Afkaita de Gavra, because if Afkaita de Gavra, so we were talking before, Afkaita de Gavra means it doesn't happen automatically. Right? And it's on me. It's only if I do it. So if I did do it, then I'm not even mechuyev to do it. Right? And it doesn't disappear until I do it. Another angle on that is that it's Afkaita de Gavra, I have a mitzvah to do mechila. But it's not an underlying question of who owns this. It's a question of, do I have to be mochel? But who owns it until I'm mochel? Me. It's not a dini mamna shayla. It's an issue of a hetzer shayla. So the to say we're going to treat this as an issue of a hetzer, therefore sabra of a kula, rather than talking about hamotzi b'chav raya, sounds a lot like, I know who owns it now, because there was no afkaita de gavra yet. The question is, are you mechuyu to be mochel? The answer is, you have a safik here to be mochel, and that, so Dafki number 8 is, do you is the relevant rule of Safek Hamotzim Rav Araya or Safek Ban Lekul Safek Rav Slochem, which has to do with whether it's Yisra Hetter or Dini Mamanis, because Afkai Demalkas Gid Dini Mamanis, Afkai Degaz Gid Yisra Hetter. Fine, I have Dafki number 9 to come back to where we begin. One afkamina in Isser v'Hetter versus Dini Mamanis, these fields of halacha, is which rules of Suffolk do you use? Another afkamina is Hamot in Hefker Bez and Hefker, a relevant concept to that. Hefker Bez and Hefker means, big adol, that Yesh Koch B'Acham Lachar Dovma Torah in the world is Dini Mamanis. So when Rava says Hefker Bez and Hefker, he's basically saying Afkaita Damalka. you could talk in big terms, categories, Isra'atur Dimos, or you could say very specifically, they're breaking it down in detail. To say that Hefker, that Shvitz of Safim, Drabanan workspace of Hefker and Hefker, is to say that Chazal made it, not yours. That's Afkaita de Melka. If Shmita's Kafim, if you hold Afkaita de Gavra, like the Urim and maybe the Rosh, it's not a question of who owns it. We know that the Malva owns it. It's that the Malva has a Chiyuv to be Mocha. Not a Chiyuv Dereis, but a Chiyuv Drabana. That's now Hefker doesn't help for that. I have a Chiyuv to do something. That can't be Hefker Bezmi Hefker. And certainly in terms of broad categories, Hefker Hefker is Mamona. So if you hold off Kaita Malka, then this is a din of Mamona. If you hold off Kaita Degavra, it's really in a certain sense a din of Yisura. Especially, am I Mokhiv to do a certain Maisa? Not a question of who owns the asset. If I do that Maisa, it'll change ownership of the asset, because I'll do a Mechila. But it's a Chiv to do a Maisa. It's not a question of what are the financial realities. So that nafki number eight that affects what rule of Suffolk should we employ, and that's maybe driving the Rush's treatment in Malkus of Marv Chaver Lasser Shannon, and it draws whether Hefker and Hefker is a relevant topic. So Rava appears to be saying Afkaita de Malka, which is consistent with almost all Rishonim. Abaye perhaps holds Afkaita de Gavra. And almost all Rishonim assume Afkaita de Malka, so they would be comfortable once again saying, it's fine. If Abaye holds Afkaita de Gavra, it's not even going to bother that. If you tell me that it's Rei Machlek Zabai and Rava, that's totally fine for anyone who holds Afkaita de Malka. But Yerei is not a problem. The Gemara is a problem. Yerei. Yet another Gemara, that's a problem with Yerei, is how do you understand Rava invoking Hefker Bez and Hefker? Unless he'll say, Shmita Daraisa is Afkaita de Gavra, Shmita Rabbanah is Afkaita de Malka, it's difficult. But according to Rav, hey, it's a taka problem. According to Rav Rishonim, but then he'll say, I understand that Uran would very comfortable to Abaye. Okay, but he's got to deal with Rava, which is a problem because Abaye Rava would pass like Rava. And but Lufi, the Rav Rishonim, the both Rishonim quoted by the Mardukhai, the Chizkiah, and the Rabbi Avigdor Cohen, and the Rambam, and the Ramban, and the Rashba, all of whom say very clearly and explicitly, Afkaita de Malka, they'll say, a Rava holds Afkaita de Malka. Perhaps Abaye disagreed. And maybe the reason why Abaye didn't want to say Rava, maybe, is because perhaps Abaye held off Kaita Gavra, I would suggest. And, okay, well, that's irrelevant to Halacha, because you paskin like Rava. So now we understand why Abaye doesn't say like Rava, or Rava doesn't say like Abaye. Rava doesn't say like Abaye may have to do with the nature of Sheval Tasa, Akira Sheval Tasa, and whether that's an appropriate, or at least the best, way to characterize Shmita's Ksaf and Drabanan. And Abaye wouldn't say like Rava because he might not be comfortable with the application of Hefker Bez and Hefker, because he might say that it's Afkaita de Gavra and therefore Isura, while Rava appears to be saying it's Afkaita de Malka and therefore Ramona, and therefore Hefker Bez and Hefker is an absolutely appropriate way to understand the Akiras Davar that is Shmita's Ksaf and Mi de Rabanan.
The Urim could say like a Ragash. That it's only with Machlokas. That we only pass on like Rava, or the rule of the Alfiyam only applies.
What did you say?
Oh, that's very sharp.